You need a bad operation. Give me the scissors. Hammer. Flame.
It's a daily operation. Cubicle.
Operating correctly.
The time is 5 p.m. and now you're leaving your cubicle.
Operating correctly.
It's a daily operation. Cubicle.
Operating correctly.
The time is 5 p.m. and now you're leaving your cubicle.
Operating correctly.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Operation Cubicle. This is episode 158, and the topic of this show is five things introverts wish job interviewers knew, which I promise I will make shorter for the actual podcast title. I just can't think of how to do that right now, so that will come as I'm actually uploading the show. I'll probably think of some spiffy shortened title that still captures that. So this is the show where we take a topic, we look at it from both the corporate and the geeky sides. That's the business and personal sides of the topic. And I'm Asian Jackson, broadcasting to y'all live out of Milwaukee. As I'm sure most people have heard, Milwaukee has gone through, some incidents in the past weekend. We unfortunately had a police shooting, black man that was armed, and all that. But it set off a lot of protesting, some of which turned violence. So just wanted to say peace to everybody out there doing their thing, and just stay safe out there in Milwaukee, because that's, it's not in my neighborhood, but it's in a neighborhood that I drive through often. And it's really only 10 minutes away or something like that. So it's not too far from where a lot of the activity happened, this past month. So, this past weekend. So, shout out to all my people in Milwaukee. And I'm joined as usual by my co-host JP Fairfield. How you doing, JP?
Hey, how's everybody doing? How you doing? How your mom doing? How your dad doing?
How your sister doing? You don't give love to the rest of the family. You only do mom and dad. You don't do first cousin, second cousin, half brother.
Look, we only got an hour, so.
Yeah. Actually, one thing I've noticed as I've met more people with blended families is there's some families where they're so blended they don't even do the half or step or whatever. It's just brother, sister, cousin, aunt, uncle, that's it. There's no this is my great aunt, my great half aunt, or whatever. And I remember growing up, I never knew my aunt was actually my great aunt until she passed away. Mm-hmm. Which I guess I should have known, because she was obviously she was very old, but for some reason I just never knew that people just somebody call somebody a brother or a cousin, it doesn't mean it's a traditional blood relation kind of thing. It could be a whole separate joint, so just facts from your local family specialist, Sharif here. How has your past week been since the last show? You've been doing good? You've been overdosing on the Olympics?
No, not really. I just been keeping quiet, so that's about it.
Okay. All right. Cool. Yeah, I was watching the Olympics today, and I just got amazed that for some reason my girlfriend and I were just commenting on how all these athletes that are obviously super sweaty and all that stuff, they still got the fresh waves, eyebrows done, the nails hot. I'm the dude's got the shape ups and shit. I'm like, yo, if I'm working out, I look a mess when I work out. And I know the Olympics is a national stage, but I feel like if I was ever good enough at a sport to make it, I would probably look a mess, and people would make fun of me like they're making fun of Gabby Douglas. So, in some ways I'm glad I did not make the Olympics. Yeah, so we are recording this on a Monday, and these shows do tend to be a little faster because, we are tired from just getting off work. So with that said, let's dive into the feedback that we got since the last show, which was work-life balance versus boundaries. Shout out to Craig NSF on Twitter, who said, really enjoyed this week's Operation Cubicle. Also got paid today, so going to send some money to favorite podcasters, thinkers, nerds, geeks. And thank you so much for listening. And also thank you for donating. Because, you know, as we say every week, like, these shows are not free, you know. Like, we got to pay for the storage, you know, like, out, like, we have to spend an hour of our time, you know, which we could be used in doing other stuff, you know, and like, they're just the money for the microphones and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, if you can donate to some of your favorite independent shows, definitely make it happen. And for ours, if you go to operationcubicle.net /donate, you'll be able to get to our donation page at all. Also, shout out to the Hey You Know It podcast, to those folks who are for giving us a shout out a few days ago with some other shows. Definitely still one of my favorite podcasts, because Jaquetta and Katie are just so nuts. We had them on our show. I think maybe, God, that had to be maybe in the 70s, maybe, or like something like that. So you know, like we're almost at 160. Which is nuts. So yeah, just like, shout out to, you know, all the people that's like showing us love. And if you want to show us more love, you could tweet us at Operation Cube. You can hit us at facebook.com/Operation Cubicle, iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Google Play. Type in Operation Cubicle to subscribe. JP, how can the people find you?
They can find me at jpfairfield.com. I'm on Google Plus and on Twitter under the name Isis, ISITIS. I'm also on another show, Nagas Noir Network. You can find me at nagasnoir.net. Boom!
Alright, y'all. Y'all know what the boom means. That means we go into our music break, and we will be back talking about introverts and interviews. That actually might be the name I use. See? I just thought of it right then. That's cool. Once again, it's Operation Cubicle, Asian Jackson, and JP Fairfield. See y'all soon.
1-2-1-2-1-2-1-2. You do ride a rhyme in the top, the hollow out of flash. Crack again and stop with his teeth one time. Swallow the glass. A pain in the ass, to say the least. It came with many new techniques to slay the beast, while simultaneously saving the streets. Bombing and calming the savage with above average beats. Get the cabbage in the most lavish sweets. Consummate marriages in between the middle of sheets. Provider of the middle eats. Try to be the illest guy to kill the meat. For the love of powder of little feats. It kinda gets you right here, don't it? Mess with mine, your life will be a nightmare, won't it? Left the nine at home, I hope my lady don't pwn it. Doggone it, it ain't even got no serial number on it. For God's sake, spare the guard the heartache. Mentally scar a smart snake before he start to fake. They love to hate him on a certain level, need him. He's known to make a deal with the devil and beat him. Then proceed to sip a shot of vodka like methadone. The mic set to the headphone. We just want to be left alone so we can get it on. To an unknown metronome. Don't worry, will he get the zone? Crews best to get they chrome. Pay your overdue dues to King Ghidra, better known. Getting grown, trying to get on the mic. Instead it's blown. Too many freaks, not enough circuses. Only a true geek can peep how much work this is. So put that in your blunt hole and puff it. Stunts at the gun show, y'all might as well stuff it. Mechanic, abandoned ship, I'll miss y'all. And if they insist, beat them all like this ball. The news watch never stops. From the city it mocks, who that on the idiot box? Well, if it ain't Ghidra, alert the media. Maker of the beats, that's a real hurt feeder. Sometimes he come through to let you know he see ya. Don't let him have to call smog to head to toe graffiti ya. Just flew from Dallas, and boy's my talent's callous. And what's a girl like you doing here amongst the Allen's Palace? A cat in Wonderland who found Alice. See her with the flows by the gallon or the chalice. Everybody wildin' out, trying to be the wildest. And refuse to acknowledge why the shit is so childish. 1-2-1-2 play, I wonder what they do today. Besides repeat their choruses more times than Confucius say. And start too many songs with Yeah, I hear you, soldier, I told ya. Like, no duh, it's King Ghidra, the no-ass getter. Still qualify as a world-class spitter. Shit the shit, I write a rhyme in the nighttime. Make a beat taste like wine, like a spike mine. And I heard it through the mic line.
The crews don't even write rhymes, and I hope that they get much better. Yes, I do. I pledge that every day I rep, know the legs from every step, and I hope that they do get better. Yes, I do.
I find myself looking at the clock, hoping for the day to fly by, so I ask myself why I'm doing this remedial work for second graders. I'm an educator with mega flavor, so maybe I should just jump up and get ill. Maybe I should let these people know they're being killed. Maybe I should try my very best to chill and get paid, cause I gotta pay bills.
Hey people, welcome back to Operation Cubicle. This is episode 158, Introverts and Interviews. Asian Jackson and JP Fairfield here. And the article that we're going to talk about for this episode is something I saw shared on my timeline from a site that I've actually never been to called introvertdear.com, which obviously a site for people that are introverted. And obviously introvert is not like a binary thing. There's sort of like a spectrum of it, and they can be contextual. You know, some people are introverts in some areas and not in others. But in general, I'm, you know, like I kind of browsed over some more content in the site, and they try to cover sort of that broadness of what introversion is. But there was a great article that was written around August 3rd by Haley Stanton called Five Things Introverts Wish Job Interviewers Knew. In the first part, so like before they even get into the five things, they basically talk about how the job interview process can kind of work for and against somebody that's introverted, because they talk about how the first parts, like the resume and the application, and like I would argue even the phone screen, since that's usually, you know, pretty boilerplate, you know, those kind of work in favor of the introverts, because like you kind of, you know, you don't have to really, you know, show that you're super down with a job or like be like, you know, quote unquote type A. But once it gets to the actual interview, that like that's when, you know, that maybe introverted person that can be like stereotypically shy or like not as responsive as like some people might like, that like that might actually hurt them. JP, do you agree with that assessment? Do you think that like people that are introverted can be a little hurt by the sort of, you know, having a conversation with like someone in like real time during like an interview?
Yeah, it depends on how they view a good interviewee. If they feel that traits of a extrovert is signs of a good interview, it will hurt someone who's more introverted because they're not going to display those type of behaviors.
Right. Yeah. I think you make a good point there. I think, you know, like I talked about earlier, because introversion is sort of like a spectrum, I think there's some introverts that actually excel at job interviews because there's only one person that they have to focus on. You know, I feel like a lot of times when I think of introversion and extroversion, I think of them more in like large social events where there's like so much to focus on, like a lot of people, a lot of things, music, food. There's like a lot of things to navigate that can make it hard for someone that's a little introverted to like really feel comfortable. I almost think that, you know, as like a person that I would say probably lays a little closer to the introversion side than the extroversion side, you know, if I know that there's just one person that I need to focus on, I'm fine. You know, like I don't feel the same stress that like I feel if I'm dropped in the middle of a party and like I got to talk to 20 people, you know? So, I think it definitely does like depend on, you know, sort of like what the interviewer is like looking for, as well as that degree of like introversion that the interviewee kind of falls in. So yeah. I thought that opening point was like pretty interesting. So the first thing that, Stanton says that five things introverts wish job interviewers knew is a panel interview is not the best way to assess our strength. And in this part, Stanton is like basically talking about how, like, you know, how like introverts like to kind of be in their head and like maybe like take some time to like solve a like problem and like and like really think about it. And yeah, that is kind of usually a little different from the panel interviews, because I think that those, which I usually involve kind of more than one person, are super high stress kind of situations. And I feel like even if there's one person that might be willing to wait to like sort of like wait and like let you kind of like feel something out, it's a low percentage that all the people on the panel will feel like the same way, you know? So like, I think that that's definitely, a more difficult thing. And having been in them, I can say that they're the most dreadful things ever. Even if you know your shit, like they're really easy because you got to manage multiple personalities at the same time, which is, you know, sort of what always gives me issues. JP, have like you ever been in like a panel interview, and like do you think it's something that either benefits or like hurts someone that's introverted?
Yeah, so I personally hate them, especially if they're not well coordinated. There's nothing worse than having a whole bunch of people asking you questions at the same time.
It's terrible.
It really is. And I don't think you should have a panel interview with more than three people. I think I had a panel interview where it was 5 to 6 people up in there. And I was like,
oh my God.
I'm like, what a horrible mess is this?
Yeah, that's almost like you're defending your dissertation.
Right. I'm just like, why? And then I really hate that they don't inform you beforehand what type of interview setup it is. So you have no way to prepare. And I guess, you know, some people feel like, oh, well, that's part of us trying to figure out how you can deal with certain situations. Well, I prepare for situations. So, and then I have, when I have, you know, forewarned knowledge of a situation, if something happens that I didn't expect, I at least, you know, have some expectation of, well, this possible thing could happen. And I have an alternate plan. That is what I do. That is like part of the skill set for my job. And for you to just throw me into the fire trying to see how I will react doesn't really test how I will be on the job.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. It kind of reminds me of some of those weird interview things that we talked about a couple of episodes, I guess it was more than a couple episodes now, but those ones where like the bosses would have those really weird tests during the interview, you know, it's like that guy that would order the wrong thing, you know, on the menu and that kind of stuff. Like I feel like a panel interview is kind of like that. It's this thing to try to throw you off guard, even though it's something that, you know, it has nothing to do with the job. You know, like, unless your job is going to be being in panel interviews, like if you're like a PR person or something like that, I don't see the purpose of it during an interview. It's just to throw you off track, you know. And you mentioned that you don't like the ones that are not coordinated well. I have never seen a coordinated panel interview ever. it's like, do you know how like when you show up to a interview and like the person clearly hasn't read your resume, so like maybe the first minute like they're like skimming over it and just asking you questions off of it?
Yep.
Like I feel like a panel interview is times three.
Mm-hmm.
Like every person gets it and they're all just like asking random things off the top. Like I've never seen one that's actually like planned with questions and, you know, and decent, like, you know maybe they want you to do some kind of like, you know, live presentation or something. Like never, I've never seen that. Like they are horrible. Maybe they wouldn't be as horrible if they were planned, you know, and like every person had a reason to be there, but they usually don't.
Mm-hmm.
They are just so bad. like there's no reason for them to exist. You know, a, again, unless you're going for like, you know, a PR representative, or like somebody that's going to be in front of news cameras or something, you know, I can understand it in that case, but that's it. That is it. All right. So number two is, we're not shy or rude. We're introverted, which is weird because I said it like that because it sounds like some kind of like superhero chant that you say like before you do like your super move. Mm-hmm. You know, like it kind of sounds like before, like, I don't know, like when Voltron kids call out the lions or when the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Like, I forgot what they used to say. It was like Arkazord or whatever. Or like Captain Planet, like, let our powers combine. It's like, we're not shy or rude. We're introverted. You know, this is something I've run into probably the most, is that when you're not super vocal or you're not super like, you know, in people's faces, that people assume that you're shy or you're rude. And as Shannon states, you know, a lot of introverts do struggle with like the small talk, like the kind of BS part of it, you know? So I definitely agree with this. I've fallen into this trap the most. And the weird thing about it is that I've never had sort of an interview coach say, well, that's okay. They like all say, well, you have to temporarily, you know, be outside. You just have to do it, which I kind of hate as an answer, because I feel like, again, that's not a part of my job.
Right.
You know, so why is that some kind of like big, you know, I know that communication in general is a part of any job. But
that's why we have different communication styles. I'm like, we wouldn't have. See, this is why I don't understand, especially about interview process, is that you're interviewing to see if I'm a good fit, but you're expecting me to fit in one mold.
Yep.
And that's just not how it works. And people don't understand what being an introvert really means. Like, I'm an introvert. And then people are surprised when I go out or go to parties and I'm very lively. And they say, oh, I thought you was shy. I was like, just because I didn't speak to you, you know, the whole entire time, or I choose to not engage in small talk, doesn't mean I'm shy. It just means I don't feel the need to feel in silence with words. I don't like right. small talk for just the sake of having small talk.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I don't like it either. I do recognize sometimes that you have to do it, but I feel like it's something you shouldn't be held. It shouldn't hold you back in an interview. You know, like, it really shouldn't. It should be like at the most, like some kind of bonus thing. Oh, this person can bullshit, you know, but like, it shouldn't be like, oh, well, we can't think about this person, you know, because they can bullshit. It's like, what? Yeah, so yeah, I'm definitely not a fan of that thought process. But as I said before, it's the one I run into the most. And I think you bring up a good point that, you know, companies should know more about the personalities they have and be interviewing to fit their gaps. Like, everybody shouldn't be an extrovert on your team, you know. Like, if you got to take one of those Myers-Briggs or DISC or like one of those personality tests to figure out who's on your team already and sort of what kind of personality that would round that team out, and then, you know, put that in your job description, you know, and then just interview those people. Like, that to me is like better than just expecting everyone to be this sort of type A go-getter that's all up in everybody's face and bullshit and then telling bad jokes and shit.
Right. I know the thing that drove me crazy, especially in performance reviews. Oh, JP, you know, we don't hear you enough during meetings and stuff like that. I was like, and I'm thinking to myself, but it wasn't my meeting. If it was my meeting, you would hear me talk more. But I don't feel the need to, like, what do you want me to say extra that has not been said in a meeting? That's why I just don't understand that need for people to speak just to be heard.
Yep.
I'm like, you don't understand the context of why I'm not speaking more. Because if there's no need for me to speak, if there's no need for me to interject, if I'm choosing to say something, it's because I really believe I need something to say here. Not because I feel like, oh, I need to say something so people could know if I'm there. I don't care. And that's, yeah. You know, and that's what, like, you have to understand the personality, like you mentioned, of your employee and who you're working with. I'm an introvert. I'm one of those people that I don't feel, I do not like talking unnecessarily. If I have nothing to say, I'm not going to say anything.
Right. Yeah. And yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Like, that's exactly why you get these meetings where people just talk and aren't really saying anything, or they just restate what another person says, because there is this valuation, especially in, corporate America and in academia, I probably hear about this the most, that there's this validation that if you're talking, no matter what you're saying, if you're talking, it's a positive. It's like, oh yeah, like you're always speaking up in meetings and like you're a real go-getter. And even if everything you say is absolute bullshit.
Right.
Or if everything you say is like a restatement of what another person said. And like, I'm like you, I'm like, if I can't add anything completely new, like, I'm just not going to say anything.
Right. And it's kind of weird. And I think since I'm in corporate, people kind of think I'm strange, because when I do add on to someone what someone else is saying, I would say, well, let me just piggyback on what Mark said over there. I think we can do such and such and such, because I like to give credit for the idea that was just said. And people kind of looked at me weird, like, you don't need to add that. I say, actually, I do. If I'm adding on to an idea that I thought was good, and I found another way to, you know, put a little tweak or improvement on it and to grow the idea, I'm not going to just, you know, take over the idea like I did something, you know, like it was mine alone.
Yeah, but that's what people do all the time, and they're rewarded for it, you know?
Yeah.
So it's this nasty thing where it's this nasty cycle where I'm like, how are you going to break it when the people that have the power to break it are the ones that I feel like, you know, see a value in the volume of talking. Like, they see that as a contribution in itself as opposed to what the content is. You know, like it's tough. It's very tough. And like, I have troubles seeing how to get around it, to be honest. I'm not trying to be a cynic, but it seems like it's been this way for a long ass time. You know, and I'm like, how do you change that? All right. So number four on this list of things introverts wish job interviewers knew, is we're smarter than you think we are, which is kind of weird. It almost sounds like a personal statement, like this author might have been assumed of like not being smart. But she basically says, it's clear we're probably not going to be seen as fast talkers, and sadly slower talkers are seen as less competent and likable. You know, which is, when I first read it, I didn't really agree with it, because to me it's like, I think that you can be introverted and still, well, I guess I don't really know what she means by fast talker. Like, does she mean like the literal metaphorical fast talker, or like, does she mean like fast responder, as in like, you don't have to, like, you think less before you talk?
I kind of think that maybe they're referring a little bit to both, because first they mentioned, like, interviewers don't like long pauses. So someone who's quick to speak. And then they mentioned process information and slowing down rates. So someone, I don't know. I think it's more of someone who's quick to speak. And then later on, a second paragraph, the author mentions being tongue-tied and stuff like that. And so, you know, when you try to speak faster than you're used to, you kind of get tongue-tied. So I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah, I think you're right. And yeah, I've definitely been tongue-tied when I've tried to like say, oh man, I gotta be more outspoken, and I end up fucking myself up because that's just not me. and I end up like, you know, talking over myself or losing my point and like all that stuff. But yeah, I think that this smarter than you think we are. I think that it does tie into the fact that, you know, and like the author mentions it here, that, you know, extroverted people appear to be smarter just because they're talking more. Like, just because they're more animated, because they might be able to do the little small talk things. It gives this stereotype of somebody that has it together. And there's something that says, you know, if you might keep to yourself a little bit and only kind of speak when you think it's important and like the and like that kind of stuff, that can actually be seen as being, you know, not as smart, which, man, it's just so weird because everyone has met the extremes on both sides, right? Like, you've met introverts that were idiots and extroverts that were geniuses and vice versa. So it's weird that people make that correlation. It's just kind of scary, actually. Have like you ever worked with like somebody that was like, you know, really kind of, you know, stereotypically extroverted, like loud and like that kind of stuff?
Yes.
But in reality, they were like just dumb.
Yes. And yes, I could not stand that person. Because this was when I was working at a nonprofit, and he had a silver tongue. He can talk all the talk that he wanted. And I'm just looking at him like, you are saying jack shit right now. You are literally saying nothing right now. And I just looked at him, but everybody else was like, oh, wow, he has a great point. I'm like, he doesn't have a point. He has no point. So
I know.
And yeah, so yeah.
And I always wonder if people like that, do they know that? Like, do they believe that they're smart and they're doing this, or are they consciously like, I need to give this appearance off, so I'm going to do this? I always wonder
that. In the case of that guy, I think he thought he was like top ramen or something. He thought he was so great. So not only was he like extrovert and saying absolutely nothing, he thought that everything he was saying was gold.
Oh, that's the worst. That's bad. That's almost like a pathological almost. It's kind of like a, yeah.
Right. Ugh. Like, I've met people who were extroverts, and like everything they said a lot of things, but everything they said makes sense. And they were those type of people that kind of over explain because they didn't want you to kind of misconstrue their point. And it wasn't, the over explaining wasn't irritating or annoying. So those type of extroverts I can deal with because they actually think about what they're saying, but they're saying a lot, but they're trying to make sure they say it in a couple different ways to make it clear to multiple people, which I appreciate.
Right.
But you have some extroverts that just like to hear the sound of their voice.
Yep. Yeah, and it's like other people validate that, so it's like they have no reason not to, because like we said earlier, people value just you talking. Mm-hmm. So it's like this nasty cycle of like, do these people really have an incentive to stop if they're constantly being rewarded for it?
Right. Like, yeah, my problem is I had a supervisor who, now mind you, for some reason, talking to me, he was trying to out loud figure out like issues in the project, and he was like, let me throw something out to you. I was like, oh my god, no. Because I was exhausted by the end of the day because he was one of those people that needed to bounce ideas, and I needed peace and quiet. And so I mean, I was fine when he wanted to bounce ideas off of me, but he talks so much. Oh my god. I was like, when I first met him, I was like, oh my god, please Lord, please Lord. Because I can't tell him to shut up. So
yeah. All you can do is think it. Right. Like, shut your mouth.
Like, I will wheel for someone else to come past so he can actually, you know, pause and I can try to escape. But for some reason, he got his best ideas talking to me, like, on end. He's like, and I'm like, I don't understand. Am I like, don't use me as a muse, dude. Don't you?
You were his muse.
Wow. He was like, he's like, blah 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 blah,
you know what? I was like, oh, thank God, he finally got to a great idea. Please leave me alone now.
Finally. Shut your face.
Yeah, I don't know. For some reason, I think I keep getting like a lot of bosses like that. And I'm just like, what is going on? Like, did you hire me because I was complete opposite or something?
Hey, I mean, like, you must have put out some karma in there, and like, maybe it's some experiment. Like, maybe like they're like just like, yeah, like, so this is the exact opposite of what we need, but we're gonna go for it anyway. You know, just like as a control experiment. You know, you're part of some huge control experiment. Right. Yeah, I don't even know. So. All right, so probably the most radical part of this is the last part, which is it's time to rethink the job interview. And this is where the author gives several updates to the job interview formula to sort of make it, I guess, more friendly to people that may be a little farther on that introversion scale. So I think it makes sense, you know, to like go through each thing that the author like recommends, you know, kind of one by one, and like just say if we're up and down on it, you know. So the first one is, you know, set a pre-interview task providing candidates with an opportunity to demonstrate their abilities. I think this is cool, you know.
Well, yeah, cool to a point, because I don't want them trying to get me to do a whole entire project and then I don't get an interview, but they want to keep my materials that I created. So
oh, absolutely, it definitely should not be something like that. It should be something appropriately scaled. Like, I don't know, what'd be a good idea for a time, like it should be something that takes, I don't know, 15 minutes or something, 30 minutes to put together, you know, like it should be something that takes longer than an interview time, but not like hours.
Right. Because, don't ask me to do a presentation on what I can do for your company, and then you want to keep my presentation. No, that's not happening. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. It definitely could get out of hand. So there should be like some limits on that. All right, so like the next one is like basically saying to give candidates the interview questions in advance, or after the interview, encourage candidates to email you with additional thoughts. Interview questions in advance, I think, are okay. The only problem with that is I feel like the best interview questions kind of come in the flow of the conversation. Like, I agree for like sort of baseline questions, but I feel like that's usually already covered. Like, usually when I have interviews, either the hiring manager or like HR, they'll like say like, be prepared to come talk about A, B, or C. I feel like that's usually enough. Yeah, because I feel like if like you get too specific with the interview questions, then the interview becomes less organic. So like, there is kind of a balance to that. What do you think about getting the questions in advance?
I like that idea. Like, it might not be the exact interview questions you will get. Maybe instead of saying these are the interview questions, you could say, here are examples of some of the interview questions that we may.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So, like, these questions, depending on answers from some of the interview questions, we might ask clarifying questions or something along those degrees. So, there is an expectation that some of these questions will be asked. But if the interviewer wants more information or wants more clarity, they might ask follow-up questions.
Oh, that is good, JP. I might send that. I might steal that idea and send that into the author. Like, yeah, I just thought of this. you know, should do this. I was just thinking, you know. No, that's really good, though. I definitely love the idea of sending kind of a sampler of good interview questions as opposed to the exact ones. So the next part is have a relaxed one-on-one conversation with the candidate in addition to a panel interview. Now, I would say instead of a panel interview, but I guess my thought is that they're probably saying if you have to have a panel interview, make sure that you also either follow it up either before or after with like sort of a relaxed one-on-one convo. I agree with that. I have no problems with it. I know some companies you have to do the panel. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. about it. Just don't let that be the sole thing. Like, also have that kind of like relaxed conversation with him too. What do you think about this?
I think instead of having a panel interview, you can still have a panel, but just have everyone who needs to be there, maybe to, if the interviewee has questions for them. So I think it's better to have short interviews with each of the people who you'll either be working with or has a say in you getting hired. And then at the end, have a panel where the interviewee can ask questions of the panel, or if there's any clarifying follow-up questions. So the panel interview should be more of a, hey, this is what I do, and blah, 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 you know. So.
Okay. Yeah. No. All good suggestions. All good suggestions. So the next one I think is really interesting. This is almost like a game show approach. It's like give candidates the option to pass on a question and return to it later. So it's basically like Taboo. Like you can skip or like, you know, I don't know, $10,000 pyramid or something like that. And it says this gives introverted candidates time to think it through. I don't quite know what to think about this one. I don't know if you should be able to pass.
I would love that.
Really?
Yes. Because I've been like, okay, because doing an interview, I would have to say, you know what? That's a good question. Can I get 5 minutes to think about it? I have said that because I'm like, you're not going to have me rush my answer, especially if it's like a behavior question or a question about, you know, what I did at a previous job, because one, I have to think about, okay, what can I tell them that I'm allowed to tell them? Two, you know, is the story going to answer the question? Because one, I worked at a lot of different companies and I want to make sure that I'm not giving away information that I shouldn't have. So I want to think more clearly around my answer. So it would be good if I could pass on the question and answer another question and then circle back.
Yeah, see, I agree with what you said at first, kind of like saying like, let me get some time till I think it through. I guess I don't think you should be able to pass and go to something else. Like I do think part of a job is sometimes you have to answer something even if you don't know it. So either you say like, hey, I'm sorry, I just, you know, you have to think of something.
But technically, if you're on a job, if you can't answer the question right away, you're technically passing on it and then coming back to it later.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not ignoring the question altogether. You're saying, hey, I'm not sure of my answer at this time. Let me come back to you. And you kind of do that on your job also. So why can't you do that in the interview?
Yeah, that is true. I mean, I do know that I've had situations at jobs where, you know, I don't know, maybe a client's upset about something and I can't say I'll think about it later. Like, I have to say something, even if it's something that they might not like, or, you know, and like, I might say, you know, like, give me a couple of minutes to think about it. I don't think there's anything like morally wrong with it or anything like that. I just think that there should be some part where you have to give an answer that not everybody's going to be happy with. You know, like, I think that that's a skill that is kind of invaluable, because especially when you're doing kind of roles that like I do, at least, which is kind of like a support role where like you're answering to customers all the time. Like you kind of have to, you know, you kind of like, there's some things that you can't be like, I'll get back to you tomorrow on. Like if you're talking to like a vice president or like a,
well, I'm not saying that you're going to say, I'm going to get back to you tomorrow, but you give them the information, you know, and say, hey, I can get back to you at such and such time. So I'll give you more accurate information, because I work, you know, with some of my clients, they may demand information now, but I'm like, if I give you, you know, bad information, that's just as bad as me just ignoring you. So,
yeah, that's a good point. And like, that would be a good answer to give during the interview too. So I might write that down. I scribble that down a little bit. Scribble that down in the reef pad. All right. And the last one is always take the opportunity to look at a candidate's portfolio. And like I said before, there's a lot of times when you go to these interviews, these motherfuckers ain't read shit. And they're just skimming through it. I'm like, just read, like, all. Y'all know all that time we spent putting the resume together. You make resumes yourself. You know it. Just. And, like, I've been there. Like, I've been an interviewer where I've had a full day and had to fit in two or three interviews in. But just take, like. Like, a resume should be designed that you can get most out of it in, like, a couple of minutes. Like, you don't need 15 minutes to read a resume. You know, like, just take, like, 2, 3, 4 minutes and just look over it. It's so easy. You know what I'm saying? And then if you have more time, then you start to dig into, like, you know, anything they have linked on their, you know, like any online things or any, you know, LinkedIn pages or anything like that. But just look at the portfolio. Just take some time. It's so easy. It's so easy. And I always hate that, you know, they require you have it. And then sometimes people don't read it. It's so frustrating. Yeah, so that is 5 things introverts wish interviewers knew. I thought the list was actually pretty good. You know, I was pretty good. So if you like this episode, you want to hear more, you want to hang out with us, once again, operationcubicle.net, Operation Cube on Twitter, Operation Cubicle on Facebook. And if you go to iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Podomatic, and Google Play, type in Operation Cubicle and subscribe. JP, one more time. How can the people find
you? They can find me at jpfairfield.com, on Google under the name JP Fairfield, on Twitter under the name at ISITIS, ISITIS, and boom, sparkle, sparkle, sparkle.
Boom, sparkles, y'all. We out with the sparkles. Have a great week, and we'll see y'all in the next episode. Peace. I just can't wait to get on home, away from you, and be on the lawn. Turn off the TV and plug the phone, 'cause it's 5 o'clock, and everybody sang along. Bye-bye.